I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Sorry, are you going to be talking to me and I'm looking over here? Is that? Have I got to turn around here like this? I've got complex spinal injuries, you know.
Hello and welcome to Jokes with Mark Simmons, the podcast where I chat to another comedian about jokes they can't get to work. As always, I am joined in the podcast studio by the one and only Mr. Danny Ward.
Here I am.
Here he is, and you may have heard a little chuckle from our guest. We are joined by the one and only Jeff Innocent.
Hello, thank you. Sorry, the reason I laughed is I didn't realise that was the premise of the podcast.
Yeah.
You can't get to work.
Well, as I said,
sorry, I haven't got any of that.
Yeah, well, I told you'd say that, didn't I?
Yeah.
And we
preempted.
I've come in too high status, I realise.
We preempted and discussing what can we talk to Jeff about, and we'll find out. But first of all, what have you been up to, mate? Have you been...
Jeff's been award-winning. No, potentially award-winning.
You know, there's been a lot of stuff I've been up to recently, and one of the things I'm up to is being nominated for the Chortle Best Live Club. Yeah, you know that.
How many times nominated?
Three times
nominated.
Can I say I'm mildly embarrassed by the fact that I'm 68 in February, that they couldn't find a younger comedian to fit this bill. So I don't know. I'm embarrassed by that, to be quite honest. And even one of the other nominees, Ian Stone, is, you know, in his 50s, mid-50s.
Yeah.
And Marcus Birdman, I think he's in his 50s as well. So what does that tell you?
It tells you that experience is important in comedy.
Yes.
That's how, and you never stop learning.
Yes, true. If you want to.
100%. But honestly, like,
and
you...
Can I say, and if there, do you have new comics that listen to you at this podcast, right? If you want to... So if you're a comedian who describes yourself as someone who's had 107 gigs... Doesn't matter how many gigs you've been doing. It's whether you've been thinking about what you're doing. You could have done 10 gigs, but if you thought about what you're doing, you're going to be more developed than someone who's done 100 gigs. Is that a boring thing to say?
No, that's 100%.
Stop saying how many gigs you've done. It's meaningless.
I mean, there are lots of comedians that have been going a long time that perhaps aren't particularly great. So, you know, we don't like to be negative on here, do we, Danny?
But... So I've been being nominated.
That's one of the things I've been doing. You also, let's reel it off. British Comedian of the Year, 2020.
Well, that's true. Yes, that was 2021, I think. Yes.
Who was British Comedian of the Year 2022?
I think what you're alluding to is a different thing.
Oh, a different thing.
You're alluding to comics, which Jeff won in.
No, I don't know because it comes in November. You see, so it's late in the year. So that's what's throwing us about the year. So in my mind, although I won it 21 November, I'm still sort of part. I'm still it for 22 for a while.
And you know when 22
Someone has just won it in November, didn't they? Somebody
Dan
and a really good... And a young act as well, for a change. Dan Tiernan, who's...
That's it.
He's great,
very good,
man.
You talk very highly of Dan Tiernan, don't you?
I do, yeah. I've seen him a couple of times and I said to everyone, this is the only guy I've seen.
So you didn't mind passing the mantle to him?
Not at all. And you're right. I would have inside felt away if I'd been handing it over to someone I thought was hack or not very good, but I was very happy that you took over.
Comics Comic, when did you win that?
That was 2016.
Yeah, one of the first ones, because that can't have been going very long.
It had been going before then. No, I wasn't, but it doesn't matter. It wasn't that long ago in my lifespan anyway.
Yeah. Great.
So I'm very happy to be an award-winning comic.
Jeff, do you remember the last time you were here? Probably one of the last times you were in the studio/flat was during the lockdown and we were doing Zoom gigs.
Oh, and I got cut off.
And you got cut off. Do you remember that?
Oh, man. I remember. It was one of your, it was a relation of yours or some connection to you. And it was a private office party.
Yeah.
I was replacing you, Mark.
Oh,
that's what got us in the top. And so, fair enough.
Oh, yes.
We are very different.
Yeah.
So maybe I'm not really a like for like. But what happened as soon as I started talking, it didn't take very long. And I know what happened. He panicked. He heard words like black, racism,
lesbian,
things like that. Never really put them in the context of the sentence. And I thought there'd been something wrong with the technology, but he knew straight away. Danny knew straight away. It wasn't the technology. He went, I think you've been cut off, mate.
It was the line that got you cut off, Jeff, was when you said, you're talking about the toolbox.
Basically, the joke is, I think it's a really good joke. Obviously, I do, otherwise I wouldn't do it. But it's a joke about buying my son a Bob the Builder set when he was young, before I knew he was gay, but the signs were there and he ignored all the tools, but he saw the yellow construction helmet, put it on his head, started dancing, right? So it's so
silly. That's enough for the podcast. That's the end of the episode, I'm afraid.
But then I go, you might like to know I kept all the tools from the Bob the Builder set, just in case I have a lesbian daughter at some point.
And then the screen went black.
And that's it, yeah. So,
it's human resources, isn't it? Getting really tense with these things.
But because I've been using my phone, I think, to time Jeff, then I realised I had loads of messages, and the messages were like, get him to stop.
But do you know what? There might be a naivety about me as well, but this is going to bring me back to what happened at the weekend. I get myself into scrapes and incidents where sometimes I walk away going, I could have handled that better. And other times I walk away going, what did I do there? Am I in the wrong there? And which leads me to what happened at the weekend.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. And I can't mention the comedy club. And I don't want to glamorise this for you two lads, yeah? but because I don't know if this is going to go any further like on their behalf, but it's a particular comedy club. I always have problem with the bouncers. And it occurred to me when I was thinking about it today, almost every club I play at has a bouncer. Maybe every single club. But it's never an issue. It's never a problem. But at this particular venue, because it's a complex of different venues, so the bouncer's not tied to the comedy club, they're tied to the overall complex of other venues. So they're different, they're not there all the time, it's inconsistent. And the comedy club haven't developed a proper relationship with security, whereby when we turn up, there's a consistency. Either they have a guest list with our names on or whatever. So you never know what it's going to be this time. And I turned up, got to the door, and I've got a kick scooter, everyone who's listening, like a fold-up. It's like a skateboard, scooter skateboard, right? Turn up at the door, folded my scooter up, stood up, and his opening words were, you're not bringing that in here. So it didn't get off to a good start.
It got your back up straight away.
Yeah, it did straight away. And then it got worse, and this is to do with one of my disabilities, and anyone out there who's deaf, well, you know.
Why be listening to a podcast?
Yeah, if you get someone to tell you what this podcast was all about. When you're deaf and you haven't got your hearing aids in, you need to look at the eyes of the person you're speaking to. So the guy has gone, you're not bringing that scooter in here, and turned away and started looking at the people behind me. There was not even room for negotiation or for me to declare, no, hold on a minute, mate, I'm one of the comedians. As I'm trying to do that, I'm saying, excuse me, can you look at me? I can't. I need to look at you when I speak to you. He dismissed me, looked away, and started dealing with the people behind me. So that's a double backup now.
Yeah.
So I'm thinking.
And also, you don't want that in front of other punters.
Well, they could be the audience, couldn't they?
Yeah, exactly.
So I thought, and I was a little bit late. I'd already had the phone call going, Jeff, where are you? Where are you? So I thought, I can't hang about for you to be ignorant. What it was is he wasn't very experienced. I could tell he didn't have charm, he didn't have communication skills. Otherwise, it would have just gone very smoothly. So he's looked away now as if to say, well, you can piss off, mate. I'm dealing with these people now. And I thought, well, I'm going to work here. So I went to go past him and he grabbed my arm and that was it.
Yeah.
Now, the thing is the problem. Here's one of the problems, right? If you've done martial arts all your life.
I have.
One of the great things about it is you stay out of trouble.
Mm-hmm.
You can see trouble kicking off. You can stay away. You're confident enough to not get involved. However, if you get grabbed, I mean, you know, I've got half a dozen moves for someone grabbing my arm on the left, on the right, in front, behind, and I can't just let that go. So you go onto a sort of muscle memory. So straight away now, I'm getting him off me, and it kicks off, and it turns into a tussle going down the passageway into the venue from the door.
Wow.
You know, and we're kicking and grabbing and elbowing and doing all, you know, flipping everything I've got in my repertoire. However, I have to say, and I hope this doesn't glamorize it, I thought I was in slow motion. I thought, what is wrong with you, right?
Right.
Now, I forgot. It's been a few years since I've been training properly. When you're training all the time, you're not like that. When you're not training, you forget how much you can lose that zip, you know, that snap that you need, that speed.
Yeah.
So it was almost as if I was fighting in slow motion, and I thought, oh, my God, this is terrible. However, I was still getting the better of this guy.
Yeah.
So he was fighting in even slower motion
than
me.
How old was he?
He was younger than me. That's all. I don't know how old he was, but yeah, he was younger than me. And then I'm also trying to hold on to my scooter. So I'm hitting him with my scooter, hitting him with elbow, kneeing him, trying to get any move I can think of in my repertoire. Because that's what happens in the martial arts I did, Krav Maga. What happens is you have a repertoire. You walk around with a repertoire of moves that you can apply subconsciously to any situation, okay? And that's what I was doing. But what happened then is he started going, code red, code red.
Code red.
Now I'm getting really embarrassed because I'm thinking, you know, I'm 68 in February. How can I be a code red? A 68-year-old man with complex spinal injuries, right? And I've got nerve damage in my foot. I've got a thing called foot drop. So I can't even walk properly. I have to use a walking stick. And he's going, code red, code red. So they all come running. And I have to say, they all sort of stopped when they saw me because I think they must have thought, well, how is this code red?
Yeah.
It's an old bloke with a scooter and a sheepskin coat, which did slow me down. Now, I did reflect the other yesterday about the sheepskin coat.
Did they say you're barred?
I think if cockney, you ask any football hooligan from the 70s how difficult it must have fought to fight in a sheepskin coat and stack your shoes. But there's a cockney thing there, because sometimes you put a sheepskin coat on, I want to go and rob a building society. So it was a bit awkward. I'm holding a scooter, I've got a sheepskin coat on, he's trying to grab hold of me. It was one of those fights are never smooth, are they? They're always messy. But anyway, they came, surrounded me, and then they said, well, you know, I said, look, he grabbed hold of me, and that's it. Once someone grabs hold of me, I mean, I'm not, I can't wait around to see what he's going to do next.
Put so he assaulted you?
He might want it to choke me out or some shit, but I can't stand and wait for that shit.
Yeah.
So then they took me outside and they're all standing, trying to have, you know, in bouncers trying to have what I should have done, like trying to talk to you about etiquette and stuff, which was very funny. So I said, look, mate, he grabbed hold of me, that's the end of it. There's no more argument as far as I'm concerned.
Yeah.
So they said, so now the manager of the venue comes out, and here's the problem. You go, I said, who are you? He goes, I'm the manager. But you're not my manager. Here's the problem. There's a conceptual problem with I'm not working for them. I'm not working in their venue. I'm working for a venue within their venue. So it's all a bit tricky. So they said, we're going to look at the video. VAR, they call this, do they? Seriously, I had to stand there while they looked at the video.
I wish we had that video.
To decide whether I'd assaulted their member of staff or not. And then they came, and I knew that.
Lucky you were going in slow-mo anyway.
Well, yeah. That would have been easy for them, wouldn't it? And then they said, yeah, you have. I knew they were going to say that. They're always going to support a guy, aren't they?
Right.
And then they said, sorry, you've assaulted our member of staff, so we can't let you in the venue. So that's why I'm not glamorising this or trying to have too much of a laugh out, because I don't know if they're going to take it any further. I don't think they will, but you know, you don't know.
So what happened with the gig then?
Yeah, well, then I had to walk away. So the manager of the venue's come out and went, look, you still haven't sorted out what happens with the bouncers.
Oh, I thought, sorry, there's a compere filling time while he's waiting.
Well, yeah, I might still invoice them because I thought, well, I've turned up.
Yeah.
And the last time I was there, this is how ridiculous it is. It's bouncers who have got an ego power trip. The last time I was there, they had a bouncer who wouldn't let me in because it's different every time. Here's the other problem. Unless he'd searched my bag. I said, well, you're not searching my bag because I'm a comedian and I'm doing a job where I don't think I should have to be searched to do my job.
Mm.
If there are other jobs where maybe I would have to be searched. So he said, okay, you can come in as long as you put your bag over there in the office. She, I'm talking about a little man bag. I'm not even talking about a rucksack. So what I did is I took all the stuff out of the bag, which was my hearing aids. Here's another age-related shit. Right? Hearing aids, eye drops or whatever. Put them in my pocket and gave him the empty bag. And he went and put it in the office. That's how ludicrous this whole fucking... Can I swear on it? How ludicrous it is.
So when was this? This was a different
time before.
That was a different time, but at the same venue.
Yeah.
So they didn't have a closing act then for the show?
Well, I was the opening act.
Oh, you opening, right,
yeah, because I was going off to another club. So the manager came out and said, oh, look, if you pass the VAR, you'll have to close. I went, well, I can't close because I'm going to do another gig.
Yeah, yeah.
And I said, you still haven't sorted out this relationship with bouncers. Part of the problem, I'm not going to go at you two, is young, middle-class acts
I get involved.
Put up with this shit.
Mm.
Whereas I'm
going to take that, Mark. Middle class.
Well,
yeah, I'm not.
Well,
I'm as working class as they come, mate.
Upper working class.
Upper working class. Behave yourself.
Educated working class. No, but what's happened is a lot of the young acts, they're not. And it's funny because I said to someone else when I was telling them the story. I said, look, I wouldn't do it. Ricky Grover wouldn't do it. Craig Campbell wouldn't do it. And he went, well, I think there's a link there between. But really, I think it's a generational thing. I'm not going to be searched to go and be a comedian.
No, but quite often, I've been asked, and then as soon as you say, "Oh no, I'm an act," they always just let you through.
Yeah, because that's usually what happens. But at this place, you never know.
The boat show
say.
Always ask, and then I go, "I'm an act." They send me
this
through.
This guy wouldn't even let me. I didn't even get to the point where I could explain to him. He's gone on to the person behind me now.
Right.
So correct. I got mugged off by him, basically. So I.
Well, those audiences, that audience that were waiting behind you, they ain't going to be heckling you, are they?
No, they're not. But I don't want this to. I don't want you to glamorise violence.
Can we get the VAR for the pod? That would be nice.
We have got VAR.
That's what happened. So a lot of things have been happening at the weekend.
Yeah,
and I did my comedy workshop.
Before that, going to the next gig. What was your adrenaline and your mood like going to the next gig?
You should have seen
what I was a bit pissed off.
Yeah.
You're right. There was a. I was a bit pissed off. You know what really pissed me off, though? Not so much how bad my performance was in the fight and how slow I was compared to what I thought I'd be able to do in that situation.
Yeah.
You know, I just thought, Jesus. So I thought, I've got to make a decision now to absolutely never go down that road or to get back in the gym and get fit again.
Yeah.
And that's where I was this morning.
There we go. He's become even more dangerous.
Because I thought, if that had been a better bouncer, I would have come unstuck. Yeah. I know I would have.
Can you imagine, though, Jeff coming up, right, on his scooter, on his push scooter, in his sheepskin coat. What would you do?
I don't know. I don't know what he's seeing. I don't know if he's thinking, there's this mad old bloke on a scooter trying to get into the venue.
Right.
However, if he'd have let me get... The fact that he's trying to stop me from getting in, what do you think I'm going to do? It's not like a terrorist attack, is it? It's not like I've come in with a machete.
Yeah.
I've come in with a little fold-up scooter. He could have either stood in front of me or let me go in and told the others I'm coming through. An old bloke's just broken through with a scooter. It's just...
I'll be honest, I just saw you outside turn up on your scooter and it was not intimidating.
There you go.
It's very friendly.
It's a weird thing, is it? It's an odd...
Yeah.
Well, it's a bit eccentric. Maybe it's eccentric.
During the lockdown, we used to go out on our electric scooters.
We did.
Two of us going down the canal path.
Oh, we had some great times, man, but they've made that illegal, haven't they?
Just a couple of things here, Mark. Number one, I wish the podcast was like this more often. Number two, your bard joke deserved more.
Your what joke?
He went, you're barred.
Because your sheepskin coat.
Oh, okay. Oh, yeah. You know,
you're in the flow,
man.
You're in the flow, mate. I wasn't going into
it. I'm rubbish on that kind of humour.
You are, yeah, because we spoke about this before.
I don't get it.
No.
It takes me ages to work
who,
it out.
Who was I gigging with the other day? Another really good comic doesn't get the one line.
Even those ones, because I go on Facebook sometimes and you've got a brilliant profile on Facebook. I admire what you've done there, that work ethic, and you've got talent as well, so it's a brilliant combination. However, I always think, what that job? So I wonder if it's an age thing.
No, I think it's a way you're wired thing.
I'm just, clever in some ways, but I'm actually quite stupid in a lot of other ways.
But I don't think it is clever or stupid. I think it's literally how your brain works, because you're stuff is just... Is raw? I don't know what the best way to describe it. It's just real life, isn't it? Right, the way you the way you talk and deliver.
Sure.
Whereas mine is all made up shit.
Of course,
isn't it?
Yeah.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
So, yeah. But I interrupted you earlier. You were about to say something about your comedy course.
Oh, on Sunday, because I run a comedy course at Up the Creek.
Yeah.
It's a six-week Sunday afternoon comedy course for beginners, new acts, or anybody really that wants to reinvent themselves, reboot, become better than they are.
I've heard a lot of good feedback from people.
I'm really pleased with the feedback, and I really love doing it, and I really worked hard to make it a thing, you know, that I'm proud of.
Mm.
And I had Luke Tawson comes in. I don't know if you know Luke.
I know Luke.
He's a great guy. He comes in on the second week to give them a session on joke writing.
Right.
Because in a strange way, that's an area that I'm a little bit weak on. Because I don't set out to write jokes. I try and set out to capture what I'm thinking.
This is exactly what we were just saying, though, isn't it?
There you go.
Yeah.
So I get Luke in, because I don't want them to miss out on the mechanics of joke writing.
Yeah.
And he comes in, and it was just so fantastic. And it's just such a joy. One of the things I try to teach, and this is not to give any secrets away, I don't think, is to show, not tell. So very early on when I was doing one of my first courses, I had a woman that thought she could get up and go, hello, my name's Sue, I'm an anorexic. So I said, it's much better for you to be an anorexic and talk about other things.
Mm.
And for us to find out, for it to be revealed in some way that you have an eating disorder, rather than flagging it up.
Right.
Because there's no art in that. And also, audiences can respond negatively once you start flagging up disabilities or things like that.
Do you get them to do like a showcase as well? And you analyse their performances, do you? Like, so if they do a joke a certain way, will you then say, have you tried it this way?
Well, that's during the course, once it gets. But I do look at their jokes and say, you know, maybe we can do it that way. But I don't really like to hone in too much on their actual material. I do, but more ideologically, what's behind the material, what it's suggesting, what it's saying. You know, I'm more interested in trying to show them things about themselves and how they can access material, how they can generate material, rather than the mechanics of it, because that tends to work itself out, I think. I think if you're too strict about the mechanics, you can end up it being formulaic. So
yes,
I even quite like it not being quite right, but more natural.
How did you start, Jeff? What made you sort of do it?
I did my first gig over the road from here at the Tom Allen Centre, which is not, you know, only opposite Theatre Royal Stratford.
Oh, yeah.
It's now an African church, okay. I think. African churches, amen. I've got this joke when I do urban.
That's enough for this podcast. Thank you very much.
No, I've got a joke about what the reason there's so many African churches, because why English churches are dying out and African churches are developing is because English churches take about 100 years to build, you know, and whole generations of people become bricklayers and stonemasons and artisans, whereas African church, you just find a disused snooker hall, go down to B&Q, get a bit of white plastic garden furniture and sanctify the snooker hall, and there you are. And I do that in front of a black audience, so it's all okay,
that's
everyone.
Fine.
All
right? Don't chill out, everyone.
But anyway, I digress. What happened with me is I always thought I could do stand-up comedy. You know, I always thought, even though I'd never done it, I'd sometimes seen stand-up comedy before, I can do that. I bet I could do that better than you. So it was something I always knew I could do. I was always someone who liked making people laugh and did it my entire life. Mm. However, I couldn't do it as a job because I didn't think you could do it as a job. And maybe you couldn't do it as a job until the 90s or something properly.
Yes.
Until genres opened up, a load of chains of clubs. And because I had kids, and it just happened that when I was 40, 41, I'd finished university as a mature student, was in between jobs, genres opened up a lot of clubs, and I thought, right, I can see how I could possibly do this. So I just did a workshop myself.
Oh, cool.
With Tony Allen, who was one of the architects of alternative comedy in the late 70s,
yeah,
over the road from here at the Tom Allen Centre for 6 weeks. But again, I was the only one that wanted to do it for a living. I could see all the other people there, and this is fair enough, and I love these people that just want to do the workshop as if it's Zumba.
Like an experience.
And I love those people because those people get so much out of it. And sometimes those people on the showcase are better than the other people. It's just a fantastic experience for them. And I get a lot of satisfaction out of those people. It's almost life-changing. And for you to be the facilitator of that experience is quite a thing that makes you feel very happy. But so I took it seriously, because I was old, like a mature student at college, took it seriously. And within a year, I was doing the Comedy Store and all that.
Can you remember any of the first bits that you
worked
on?
Yeah, I was telling someone the other day, because a lot of my stuff, the sort of mask that I wore, if you like, or the you know, you're never really yourself. You think it's yourself, but you've got this mask of being on stage to hide behind. And it was all geezery, kind of cockney. It was like, whoa. My favourite joke that I did, this is the sort of thing I used to do. There's a program called EastEnders, and some years ago there was a storyline with a woman called Saskia, and she got murdered. Someone murdered her with a glass ashtray. Do you remember that?
I remember this.
Martin Kemp. So do you remember? Oh, you know that storyline, do you? So I remember going on stage a few times during that period, because we used to smoke in those venues, and there'd be glass ashtrays in venues, and I picked it up and went, have we forgotten Saskia's death so soon?
Because also everyone watched EastEnders back in those days because there were only four channels.
But I used to have jokes like, oh, I hate this venue. They've got plastic glasses here. No good, are they? When you put one of them in someone's face, nothing happens. You know, it's all just nonsense and some terrible, terrible stuff. I've got the video to the
So you play more of a character then, as in...
But I didn't realise I was.
Right, yeah.
We'll have to
get
that video digitised.
Yeah, I don't know if I'm embarrassed, but I'll have to have a look at... There's some stuff about it that I really like, where I think, wow, because you have a rawness when you start, you don't really know what you're doing, do you? So you have a freedom where you think, wow, and then it takes you years to find that freedom again.
You might be able to use that in your course, really, because you could show the development of an act.
Possibly, but I don't know. I'll have to have a look at it to see.
Yeah, might need a bit of an edit, Danny.
Yeah, so it was a character, but I didn't think it was a character. It was almost a, you know, not quite a character. It was an aspect. And that's the problem with all new acts, really. We don't quite, it's hard to get to yourself.
Took me ages, yeah.
When I started in 2008, you were wearing kaftans.
Well, they weren't a kaftan. Nope. A kaftan is an Indian shirt. They were more African shirts, really, West African shirts. But what it is I started wearing, because I wear those sort of clothes anyway a lot, you know, so I thought, well, let's start wearing clothes that I wear anyway, and it might be quite an interesting juxtaposition to be a bit of an East End working class bloke in a sort of ethnic shirt. But what happened, why I stopped doing that is because the contrast between me being a bit of an East End geezer and me not actually being like that and being a bit ethical got lost.
Right.
Because straight away you could see that's what it was. So I lost something by doing
there's
that.
There's no reveal, no surprise.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I suppose they had to work out why you were wearing it. So as long as they weren't...
Well, I think I'm terrible. If I wear some clothes and get some jokes out of it, I'll start wearing those clothes to keep the jokes going. But I'm not ruling out wearing those shirts again, and I sometimes do. But I think I've found my...
But that is interesting, material-wise, that you are completely froze the whole reaction because... they've already got an idea of you as soon as you walk on, but you're not revealing it. You're not getting that, we think he's this, but oh, he's that.
Yeah, yeah. And in a way, my whole shtick is that.
Mm.
And that got lost as soon as they could see that I... I looked a little bit... I mean, I can write jokes about clothes. I could write a whole hour show just about what I'm wearing. And that's why I tend to latch on the clothes. I mean, I had this... I remember I went through a phase of wearing a denim suit. You know, it's quite a trendy denim suit. It wasn't... It was before we had the term double denim as a put-down. I used to wear this suit, and I had this joke, and I just thought it was brilliant. And it was... I know what you're thinking. I look like a bouncer at a gay country and western evening. Oi, stand by your man. And that used to get a massive laugh, and I kept that going for years. Yeah. Kept wearing the suit beyond its time just so I could keep doing the joke. So I'm a bit bad like that.
You used to wear your show shirt for a while. I think it's good.
Well, you've got to be careful, haven't you? You've got to be careful it hasn't become a costume, I think. And there's a difference. I think there's a difference in wearing what you wear and feeling comfortable and having an image and you relying on it as a costume. And I think that's... Because I mean, I don't know how long I can keep doing this stupid Jimmy Savile joke I do about... The problem is, the longer it goes on, almost the funnier it gets.
Right.
It's sort of working against me. But, yeah, so I've been trapped in outfits for a while.
Have you ever had... Because of your... Like you said... With that Zoom gig, they had a problem because they sometimes the problem with some audiences is some people just don't understand comedy, so they will hear something and they will just jump to the wrong conclusion.
Yeah.
But have you ever had anything live happen like that an issue?
Yeah, a top secret, and Mark won't mind me saying this because he wanted to put it out on the film. But it was a similar stuff about race, and it was downstairs at Top Secret. And I mean, Top Secret is, you know, everyone loves playing Top Secret. And I was downstairs. And it's a young audience, okay? Mm. Young, white, middle class, roughly, generally. So I was doing the stuff, and a woman put her hand up. And I, you know, that to me is a passive-aggressive heckle, isn't it? Because it's the hand up, and now I've got to address that. Unless she puts her hand down, I've got to address it. Everyone can see it. And I was only doing... a 10-minute set as well. I remember he said, I've only got 10. I went, I'll do it. I'll take it. And it was the stuff about me looking racist. And she put her hand up. And I went, yeah, I'll be over in a minute, you know, trying to be friendly. She kept her hand up. She went, okay, what is it? She went, you're racist. Now,
I mean,
I'm thinking, okay, you've misinterpreted. So I went to go, or almost went, look, don't worry. It's all going to work out. It'll all make sense. That's what I was... But by that time, the audience now... of booing this woman.
Right.
Because you know how audiences turn against people?
Yeah, like that.
And I thought, oh, no, they've all gone. So I carried on, and but then they carried on. Now the audience are going crazy, and in the end, her and her group got up and left, and the audience are going, out. And I'm not orchestrating this. Yeah. I don't even want this. I've only got 10 minutes. I want to get all my stuff. I don't like that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
I think young acts love stuff like that, but I just, no, I want it. So they left, and I thought, let's get this show back on the road. I went, oh, that was a bit weird. I didn't really want to play with it. I might have done years ago, but I wanted to carry on with them. I didn't want that to now dominate the rest of my minute, so I wanted to get on with my stuff. Then what happened is one of them had left their coat. So they had to come back sheepishly and pick up. So now the booing started again. Then they left. And then, you know, towards the end, suddenly they're on the stage.
Hey, who are?
The women are on the stage. One's trying to get the mic, one's trying to get me, one's got a glass of wine.
What?
Yeah. And then someone's trying to drag them off. Because you can't always see people coming on the stage, can you, because of the lights.
One of them got a scooter.
So again, I've gone back into Krav Maga mode. Because you just do, don't you?
Yeah, I mean, it's muscle memory, Jeff.
Someone comes onto the stage.
Yeah, you've got carte blanche there.
Well, yeah. And I thought she was going to chuck the wine over me. That's what I thought she was going to do. And all I don't know is now the police get called. They've attacked Mark Scratch's face outside. The police get called. They want to accuse me of assault. Again, sorry guys, this should sound like some reoccurring story. the police looked at the video and went, no, we could arrest you for assaulting him. And they got taken away to the police station in a van. And Mark phoned me up in the week and said, I want to press charges against these people. Will you back me up as a witness? And I said, I can't do it because, you know...
You're not a grass.
Well, yeah,
Luckily they didn't have VAR.
Yeah, I'm not... So, but they... Well, we had the video, of course.
Oh, we did.
Yeah, and the video was... But Mark wanted to put it out on...
Socials.
But if it had been blokes, I would have let him do it. Because he wanted to put it out as a Jeff Innocent martial arts instruction video.
Yeah, that's...
But it just doesn't look good.
That's not a good visual.
A big 16-stone old geezer like me. You know, it's not...
With spinal injuries.
It just doesn't look good. You know, so... So, yeah, I have been attacked.
Yeah, bloody hell.
Yeah, I know. Is this an eventful... Is this event... Okay.
This is like
can
full
you use
circle.
Any of this stuff?
This is like an Edinburgh show. We've got a full circle. We've got a full circle.
You know what?
There.
Yeah, I think I'm going to... I think that's what might be my Edinburgh show.
Yeah.
Could I have handled that better? You know, so much of my life, I've walked away thinking...
Well, we were sitting outside during the lockdown. We went and got a coffee and we were sitting on Stratford High Street and you pointed over at a building... And you went, that used to be a snooker hall.
Oh, where I lost my teeth. Yeah, yeah. I don't want people to listen to this to think it's all about that. I used to be, I came from around here, Canning Town and all that. And unfortunately, I got involved in a big gang fight in that snooker hall. And someone did me with a snooker ball and a sock.
Snooker ball and a sock.
In the mouth, knocked out a load of teeth. Yeah. So I've had a bridge there. All my adult life.
Were you blackballed after that?
Ooh, see, I got that
one. Did you get that one, Jeff?
I got that one, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, you should definitely do a show all about this sort of...
But I don't want it to be lingering on, but certainly I walk away from incidents.
But I think from a reflective point of view, you're not glamorising it then.
No,
You're trying to think, you know, what's the best...
And also all my life, you know, social life, romantic life, you know, I look back and think... Because I always, you know... My mum always used to say he's just got in with the wrong crowd, and to some extent she's right. But I must have some responsibility for my mistakes as well,
right?
And I haven't always made good decisions.
I'd like to watch that show.
Yeah,
there we
you
go.
Think there's something in there?
100%.
Could this be the place where I came up with an idea?
I think so.
Okay. And
wouldn't be the first time.
We've got the evidence. We've got the VAR or the audio version.
Yeah, you can listen to this back.
There we go. Okay. This is it.
Inadmissible in court, hopefully.
Where the magic started. But that, I mean, we've done over time. That is the end of the episode.
Sorry,
No. It's
all
beautiful.
About me, though, I'm sorry.
That's the point.
Yeah, that's why you're here, Jeff. But Jeff, tell us, how can people find out about your course?
If you go to innocentacademy.com or go onto my website, jeffinnocent.com, there'll be details there and there'll be an email address if you've got further questions. But I more or less do about four a year at Up the Creek on Sunday afternoons, which is in Greenwich. And it's just such a lovely experience for everybody. And so, yeah, please, if you're interested in getting better, starting out, please get in touch.
Lovely stuff. Perfect. Excellent.
Thanks very much, guys.
Go get signed up. Danny,
thanks for the ad as well.
Danny, how can people get hold of you?
Danny Ward Comedian across all the social platforms.
And with me at Jokes with Mark. And if you want to see us on tour from the end of April, go to marksimmons.co.uk. Anything more from you, Danny?
Nothing more from me, Mark. Anything more from you, Mark?
Nothing more from me, Danny. Hashtag Awooga, everybody.
Was, wasn't it? We had a lot of stuff in there.
Mate.
Oh, good.
That was really good.
Good.
It was great stuff.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.